Galatians chapter number 1. We had a great time this past week with the folks up in Faith Baptist Church of LaPorte, Indiana, preaching revival for them. And I tell you, I know God's alive. Amen. I know Jesus is alive. I know He's still on the throne. I know He's still doing what He's always done because I've seen Him do it this week. Amen. And we're just so thankful. We ask you this morning to pray for their service. Going to have a young lady that's been under conviction. She left under conviction last Sunday, came back Wednesday night, left under greater conviction, promised she would be back this morning. If she didn't get saved before now, pray that she gets saved this morning in the service. Amen. Pray for Leon Mullins, a man that'll be baptized this morning, got saved Tuesday night. I'll tell you more about him in just a little bit. But just pray that God's power would just continue to work up there in that service. Pray that He moves through our service this morning, amen, and touches hearts and lives. We read in the Bible the different accounts of the resurrection in the Gospels, but I like to hear Jesus' account, His own self over in Revelations. If you found Revelation chapter number 1, we'd invite you to stand with us this morning as we reverence and honor the reading of God's Word. We know everybody's got things that are going on today. It's Easter, but it's all about Him. Amen. So let's give Him His time this morning for just a little while. I'm going to begin reading in verse number 9. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book, and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, and unto Smyrna, and unto Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, unto Sardis, unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as flame of fire, and his feet like unto brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was like as the sun shineth in strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. We know who he's talking about, don't we? We know who it is. It's a risen, living Savior. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Write the things which thou seest, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. Brother Jim Cadle, take us to the... Amen. You may be seated. I would like to say thank you to those who sent your food to the firefighters. They greatly appreciated it. They'd been down there, I think, since about 2 o'clock this morning fighting that fire. Pray for these families down there. It's a great tragedy. One whole big section of Owens Landing. The townhouses down there, one huge section is completely gone. People's not accounted for. People's been flown out, taken out. Had records of people running out of the building with their clothes on fire, and it's just a horrific place. Had two of my grandsons were down there, and they said it's the worst thing they've ever seen. Amen. So we just ask you to pray for those folks, and they thank you for sending food down. They were starved to death by the time they got some food, got something to eat, and things were winding down, and they appreciated, and they wanted you to know how much they appreciated your generosity in sending that down to them. But, you know, this morning, we have hope. Those folks can have hope. Amen. because of Jesus. Amen. Because there's an empty tomb this morning. We don't have to go away and hang our heads and feel like all is lost, because if we have Him, we have everything. If we know Him, we know everything that we need to know, and we can be thankful this morning for what He's done. As we see Jesus give His account, Jesus gives His own testimony. Sometimes it's good to give you testimony, amen? I'm a no good, dirty, filthy, stinking, rotten, low-down sinner deserving to be in hell if my back broke, but I've been saved by the grace of God, amen? That's my testimony. Brother Harvey said that should be the epitaph on my tombstone, and it probably will be. I never thought about that, but that would be a good one, amen? I'm saved by His grace. I was undeserving, but I was saved by His grace. I was unworthy, but I've been saved by His grace. Amen. There's nothing that I could do. Nothing that within me was worth what He did for me. But praise God, this morning, I'm saved by His grace. That's my testimony. Amen. I don't deserve it, but praise God, I've got it. Amen. I couldn't buy it, but praise God, it's mine. Amen. I was poor and don't have anything. The psalmist said, I was poor and needy, but yet Thou careth for me. I'm glad this morning that He cares for us no matter who we are. Amen. Amen. I preached about the potter the other night. You know something I thought about? I preached on the potter several times, but you know, the potter is not afraid to get down in that miry clay. You ever stop and think about that? You ever see a potter work on a potter's wheel? His hands are just filthy with the clay. Aren't you glad that he's not afraid to reach down into the miry clay? The psalmist said, I was in a horrible pit in the miry clay, and He brought me up out of that place. He's not afraid to reach down there to where we are and get us and to do what needs to be done and mold us into. Man, I'm so glad. Amen. I'm so glad. I was dead in my sins and trespasses. Amen. But now I'm alive in Christ Jesus. I was dead in who I was and who I am, but I'm alive in who He is and what He's done. Amen. The Easter Sunday, the Easter service, is all about focusing on what has been finally completed. God's plan of salvation was started. God's plan of salvation was carried out, and it was finished. It was finalized on that first Easter morning when Christ arose from the dead. Amen. He said, I am He that liveth and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. And many seen Him. On that first Easter morning, Matthew says that the Marys, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, it says that they came and they were the first to see Jesus. The Bible tells us in Mark that He appeared first to Mary Magdalene. The Bible tells us that in Luke, the first time He revealed Himself in Luke was on the men on the way to Emmaus. There's a good song for tonight. It was me. Amen. It was me. I thought about that this morning. I was hoping you would sing that, but I like that one too. The Rose of Rose, that's one of my favorite songs. You two do. Amen. I like that. But on the way to Emmaus, he finally revealed Himself unto those who were brokenhearted and those who were distraught about all that had taken place. It was finished. It was done. It was fulfilled. It was completed because He rose from the grave. John said, he asked Mary, woman, whom seekest thou? And why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? And she said, if you know where they've taken my master. She didn't even recognize Him. She didn't even know Him, but He spoke her name. Amen. Aren't you glad there's a time when He has spoke your name and you knew that He was talking to you. You knew who it was. Amen. Sometimes you sit there in your pews and you get under conviction. I can't do a thing but preach the Word of God. But when He comes and He knocks at your heart's door, when He comes and He speaks your name, when He comes and He speaks that sweet truth into your heart, into your life, you know who it is, amen, because He's talking to you, and you can reject the preacher, you can even reject His Word, but you can't reject His Spirit when He shows up, amen. Sometimes He shows up, He's the sweet Holy Spirit. And He comes to a service, and He just blesses your heart, He blesses your soul. It's just as sweet as can be. But sometimes the Holy Ghost shows up when you're out of the will of God. And he knows whose house he's at. And you know whose house he's at. Amen. He's the Holy Ghost because he'll haunt your house. He'll bring you under conviction. He'll break you down and he'll bring you to the place of repentance, the place of surrender, the place of being where he wants you to be. You know who he is when he speaks your name. You know who he is when he shows up at your house. John had been with him. John had been one of those that were in the intimate, closer circle of disciples that had followed him and had been one of the apostles, and he had talked with him. He had ate with him. He had been with him 24/7 many days, and he knew him closer than most people could know him, but he wasn't sure when Jesus showed up. When Jesus come into Jerusalem a week prior and the multitudes were praising him, Hosanna, glory to God in the highest. Going in, make it right. Going in, make it, going in. Oh, you got it? Okay. They were praising him. They were honoring him. They were acknowledging. But over in Matthew, it says, when the folks of Jerusalem had come out. Now, Jesus had been to Jerusalem several times. He'd been to Jerusalem his whole life. He'd worshipped in Jerusalem. He had ministered in Jerusalem, as a matter of fact. He had spoken with people. He'd done miracles in Jerusalem before. But as he come into Jerusalem, they said, who's this? Who is this? People were still wondering, still questioning. But folks, when we meet the Savior, we need to know who he is. He said, I'm he that liveth. He was born into this world. He came and he dwelt among us. The writer over in John, the apostle, he says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He had lived just like every man lived. He hungered. He thirsted. He agonized within himself. When Lazarus died, the Bible says his spirit groaned within him and Jesus wept. He felt emotion. He felt everything that you feel. He was tired and weary just like you were. He lived just like every man. But he lived unlike any man. For he lived a life that was perfect. A life that was without sin. A life that was in complete 100% submission unto what his Father's will was. He lived a life that provided what God knew we needed. See, he wasn't just another man. He was God's only son. He was God's great gift. He was God in the flesh. God with us, the Bible says. God that walked among us. God that felt what we felt and knew what we knew, and yet was without sin. See, he was what God had prepared, a perfect sacrifice. A sacrifice without sin. A sacrifice that would satisfy the demands of a righteous and a holy God. For the Bible said the wages of sin is death. And in the Old Testament, under the law, God instituted the sacrifice. And the sacrifice was given that an innocent creature, an innocent animal without spot or blemish, an innocent animal that was perfect in every way that an animal can be perfect, was chosen to die and to pay the debt of sin that mankind owed. See, folks, we all owe a debt. We're all guilty. The Bible has concluded that we're all under sin. The Bible has said there's none righteous, no, not one. The Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We all deserve to be in hell because of our sin. But God provided himself a perfect sacrifice, a perfect lamb. As John beheld Jesus in John chapter 1, He said, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. He who was life itself." He said, "I liveth." But he didn't just come and live among us like a God. He just didn't come and walk among us as a God. He came and walked among us as a man that could fulfill the perfect law of God. But because there was nothing within him that could contradict what was God, John said that he dwelt among us as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He could only deal in truth. He could only speak in truth. He could only act in truth. He could only answer in truth. You know what? Man doesn't like truth. None of us want to hear that we're undeserving. None of us want to hear that we deserve to be in hell. None of us want to hear that our sins have separated us from our God. We want everybody to tell us that everything's going to be all right and we're the greatest thing since sliced bread. When in reality, because of our sin, we're far, far, far away from God. Not because we're bad people, but because we have inherited a sin nature. Not because we have done horrible things. I'm going to tell you about a man here in a few minutes that's done some horrible things. Doesn't deserve the grace of God like any of the rest of us. But God saved him anyway. He wants us to understand that He lived to deliver us from our sin. He died to pay the debt of sin. He said, "I'm he that liveth." He was alive, just like you and I. He was alive. He walked in the flesh, done everything that we do. But he died. But he died unlike any man died. The Bible says upon him was placed the chastisement of us all. In other words, he suffered the punishment that each one of us deserved. He said, "I was alive to fulfill the law and was dead." He died to pay the debt. What debt's it? The debt that you owe. The debt that I owe. The debt that I couldn't pay. The debt that I'm unworthy of accepting the payment for, but he gave to me anyway. He died. Some preachers preach, and I guess I have preached this, and God just convicted me of it. But death had no claim. Oh yeah, death had a claim. Death had a claim. He died. If death had no claim, he could not have died. Amen? If death had no claim, he could not have paid the debt of sin that I owe, because the wages of sin is death. Someone or something had to die. Death had a claim. Death made its claim. Death proclaimed its claim. When Joseph of Arimathea went and he begged the body of Jesus from Pilate, Pilate marveled that he was so soon dead, and he called the centurion and wanted to know, had Jesus been dead for some time? You know who knew about death? Roman soldiers. The Bible says when the soldiers came to break the legs of those that the priest had asked to have the legs broken so that they would die sooner, so that they could get them off the cross before the Passover, said when they came to Jesus, he was already dead. And one of the soldiers, having a spear in his hand, thrust it into his side, and forthwith came blood and water. When Joseph and Nicodemus took him down from the cross and wrapped him in grave clothes and prepared him for the burial, he was dead. Death had made its claim. Death had done what it had to do. Not because he deserved to die, but because you deserved to die. Not because he deserved the penalty that was placed upon him. The Bible said his visage was marred more than any man's. The Bible says that no man ever suffered like Jesus had suffered. He died the most horrible and horrific death that has ever been died, because he didn't die because of his own sins and for his own sins, but he bore in his flesh and he bore in his body the sin and the punishment of all mankind. He said, I was alive. And he said, I was dead. And behold, that little conjunction right there says, I want you to be assured of something. Told John, said, I was alive and was dead. And behold, be assured, be confident, be satisfied within yourselves. See it for yourself, examine it for yourself, know it for yourself. Behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. I'm alive forevermore. I told you I was the first and the last. I told you I was the Alpha and the Omega. I told you I was the one that started it. I'll be the one to finish it. I told you I was going to take care of what needed to be taken care of. I told you that in 3 days I would rise again. I told you that the grave wouldn't hold me. I told you that as one had to be like the corn of wheat that was laid in the ground, that it would lay in the ground but would rise up again. I want you to know that I'm alive forevermore. I fulfilled, I've done, I've completed God's plan of salvation. Amen. When he laid his life down, he said, no man takes it from me. I lay it down of myself freely. They didn't kill Jesus. He gave his life. Amen. When he was ready to give up the ghost, when God the Father turned his back on God the Son, I believe fellowship, and this is my own personal belief, I believe the reason he cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Fellowship between God the Father and God the Son had to be broken because the sin of all humanity was placed upon him. The Bible says thou art of more holy eyes than to behold sin. I don't believe God could even look on his own Son when the sin of mankind was cast upon him. Amen. And when God turned his back on his Son, it's when Jesus said it was finished. Because he knew. He knew that he had paid the debt. He'd fulfilled what was required. And he hung his head in the locks of his shoulder. And he gave up the ghost. He died. They put him in the grave. But the grave couldn't hold him. He rose again. He was met at the tomb by Mary and Mary and the others that followed at various times. Different gospels that tell you the different ones that were there. He met them. He met the disciples on the road to Emmaus that day. He met his apostles in the upper room as he walked into the room, and he said, peace be unto you. And he met them there. He met them when Thomas wasn't there the first time, but Jesus come back the next time. He met them there. He was seen of upwards of 500 at one time, the Bible records. He was seen by many that can acknowledge that he lives and that he's alive and that he's still doing what he always wanted to do, Brother Delbert. And he's not finished doing that work yet. He's alive forevermore. And praise God, he's still alive. alive today. He still shows up today. He still makes changes today. Last Sunday, we got to see a young lady get saved in the morning service. Another left under heavy conviction. She come back Wednesday night, left under heavier conviction. She's supposed to be there this morning. Their service is just getting started. I pray today that Alicia gets saved, amen, before it's eternally too late. She knows she needs salvation. On Tuesday night, we had a man show up. He'd been out of prison, been in prison for 30 years. Had been in prison for 30 years. He killed a man in prison. He is a typical ex-con. You can look at him, and it has ex-con all over him. He showed up at his father-in-law's house and told him, said, "I'm done. I'm finished. Nobody will hire me. I'm tired of the way that I'm living. I'm tired of the way things are. I'm going to kill myself this afternoon." And let me tell you how God works. The man had an accounting business right in the middle of tax season. He said, early in the afternoon, his whole network in his office went down. They couldn't do anything. Nothing whatsoever. Couldn't get the network to come back up. Computer people were there. They couldn't figure it out. Couldn't get nothing to work. He said, at 2:30, I told everybody, you might as well just go home. Now, tax deadline's just a couple weeks. So I told everybody to go home. Leon showed up. Said, I can't deal with it anymore. I'm going to kill myself. Everybody would be better off without me. He said, Leon, let me tell you something. He says, go to church with me tonight. Go to church with me tonight. Now, he hadn't been to church. He didn't come Monday night because he's in the middle of tax season trying to get everything called up. He told me Sunday. He said, I probably won't see you this week. He said, I'm trying to get, he said, we're flooded with tax work, trying to get called up. God knows how to work things out. Amen. Amen. He brought Leon to church. He said, Leon needs you guys to pray with him. Me and Pastor took Leon to the front of the church. And we began to share with him the gospel. Let me tell you what. That old con knew more gospel than most of you know. His wife is a Christian. His wife would come to visit him. And when she come to visit, they wasn't allowed to touch her or anything, but she would bring the Bible. And she'd open the Bible, and she never ceased to stop praying for her husband. 30 years. 30 years. Out on parole, violated his parole, knew that he was going to wind up back in to do another 5. Just couldn't deal with it. Wanted to end his life. But we brought him to the book of life. Amen. We introduced him to the giver of life that's alive and liveth forevermore. Amen. We showed him what could happen. It took a while, but it finally clicked in. And Leon asked Jesus into his heart, and Leon got gloriously saved. You know why? Because he's still alive. He still shows up. He still speaks your name. He still makes a difference. That's not the end of the story. He had to go see his parole officer the next day. And he just about knew that he was going back. He told me when we knelt down at the altar, he says, I told him I didn't want to come. He said to come. He said, I could find help here. If I don't find the help that I need, when I leave here, I'm running my car right across the road to that fairground, and I'm going to run it into a tree or a train. There's a railroad track down there and a freight train's down. He said, I'm going to run that car as fast as I can into a tree or into a train and kill myself. I can't deal with it anymore. He had to go see the parole officer the next day, and he just knew that he was going back in for another 5. He walked into the parole office, and I've got the pictures on my phone. I can show you the difference between Tuesday and Wednesday. You know what that difference is? It's the difference between Friday and Sunday. Amen. Amen? Amen. It's the difference between death and life. He walked into the parole office, and the parole officer looked at him and said, "What happened to you? You look different." He said, "I got saved last night. I'm getting baptized this Sunday." Paul says, "Man," he said, "you can see the difference." He says, "Get out of here." He left, and 2 hours later got a call from the parole officer. Now listen at this. Got a call from the parole officer, said, "Get back down here as quick as you can." He called Eddie, said, "I knew this was too good to be true. I got to go back down to the parole office." He got down to the parole office, and the parole officer told him, said, "Look," he said, "you was over at the hospital. You've racked up some bills over there." And he said, "You're behind. You got to pay the parole officer." He'd been out for 2 months. He owed the parole office $1,200. "You got to pay for every visit. Every time you see the parole officer, you got to pay him $35 and then some other fees." But he owed the parole office $1,200. The parole officer told him, said, "Go to the hospital and get them bills and bring them back over here." He went to the hospital and got the bills. They were over $5,000. Brought them back. Give them to his parole officer. His parole officer says, "Leon, we're going to take care of all this." He said, "Leon, we're going to erase the $1,200 in debt that you owe the parole office. You owe me for today and last week, you owe me for 2 visits, $70. He said, "Give me the $70 and we're caught up." Tell me we don't serve a living Savior. Tell me God doesn't make changes. God doesn't come in and let you know that He's brought new life. Amen? Now, God, we told Him, says, quit focusing on what was behind you and focus on what's before you. Quit talking about where you was and what you've done and how you've been and start focusing on what God has done and what God's doing and what God's going to do. You know what He can do with you? He can take you out of this place and He can take you into a place to tell people that wouldn't believe or wouldn't listen to anybody else what Jesus can do, because He's still alive, because He's finished the work of Calvary, because He's fulfilled everything that needed to be done to purchase for you eternal salvation. I'll get home in time to be able to watch Him live stream His baptism. I can't wait. Amen. You know why? Because we serve a God that's risen. We serve a God that's alive. We serve a God that still speaks to hearts. He still speaks to life. These aren't old stories that we have. I was there. I seen this. Amen. I was there. I got the pictures on my phone. I can show you the picture of Leon on Monday and Tuesday night. I can show you the picture of Leon on Tuesday night and show you the picture of Leon on Wednesday night. And you say, "Man, that's got to be two different people." It is. Amen. One was a burdened down sinner. Amen. One was one that had been set free by the giver of life, who had died for his sins and who is alive again. And he's alive forevermore. And he's alive to still make changes in hearts and lives. He's alive to still transform the most vile of sinner into the most precious part of the bride of Christ. He's alive this morning to make a difference. If you just meet him. If you just meet him. Christian, he still make a difference in your life if you'll just meet him. Lost person, he'll make a difference in your life if you'll just meet him. Troubled friend, he'll take the load if you'll just meet him. I want you to know something today. Now, I want to share that Leon told me I could share his story. God is still changing lives. God is still doing so much more than what we ever dreamed possible. Leon's dear wife, I think, had done resigned herself that Leon was going to spend probably the rest of his life in prison. And if he didn't die in prison, they didn't kill him in prison, he'd just wind up wasting away in prison. Because in himself, he could never get himself straight. In himself, he could never get himself right. But man, I got a picture. You can see the smile on her face. You can see a happy mama there. Hey, man. Her helpmeet, her other half. The part of her that's supposed to be there for her got gloriously changed. You see, he told us, I'm going to be in church tonight, Wednesday. I'm going to be in church tonight, and my wife is going to come with me. See, he makes this complete. Amen. He fixes broken marriages. He fixes broken lives. He fixes broken hearts. He takes away heavy burdens. You see, he's everything you need. And he can do everything that you need done. Because he's still alive. He's still on the throne. And he's still doing more than we could ever imagine could be done in our individual lives. Let's get a song.